and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and indeed from World Headquarters. I've been away for 55 of the last 58 days, Rob. So I think you got some news on your end regarding production of this program.
Well, listeners will have noticed indeed, Mickey, that we've decided to take the recording of Mercenary Musings Radio out of the Stone Age, get away from that old-fashioned copper phone line, leap into the new age, and do it via Skype. And boy, oh boy, the big quality difference, isn't there?
Well, I think so, Rob. And I have to say, I've been encouraging you to do this for a couple of 3 years now. And finally, your old laptop died and you were forced to get new mixer. And so here we go on Skype.
Yes, indeed. And you know what? I think you've got me sold on this one, Mickey. I just needed to be nudged along. You know, I'm a creature of habit.
Well, you're a bit of a Luddite for a while, Rob. So now you're in the decade of the 2010s.
So. 2010s. Okay, well, I needed the help of my 19-year-old son to get this thing up and operating. So
exactly.
You got to turn to the youth of today for technological stuff, Mickey. We decided for this program to take a look at a base metal, Mickey, that we've talked about a number of times in the past, but certainly worth revisiting because we now have the price of copper cracking the $3 level. Has not been that high since November of 2014. So tell us about what's going on.
Well, this is true, Rob, and I've been predicting this for a while. I think it's been overdue, but we knew it was coming. It was exactly maybe 60 days ago that copper first broke resistance at 275, and it's been onward and upward since then. And last Thursday, it'd been poking around, getting incrementally higher. Last Thursday, I was watching minute by minute from about 10:15 Eastern to noon Eastern, and the copper price went from 296 to 304. You could almost watch it tick up by the minute. And it traded almost 1.4 million tons last Thursday, and that's about 7% of annual mine production.
Wow.
So the buzz is on for copper.
The buzz is on indeed. And behind that price movement, Mickey, we have seen hedge funds push bullish bets to a record high. A ton of money out there on this.
Well, and that's what really drove the spot price up originally. And so as of 2 weeks ago, there were $20 billion in hedge fund money that came into the copper derivatives markets, basically the futures and options market. The story over the last couple of years has been, since the bottom in January of 2016, has been the hedge funds move in, the hedge funds move out. There are extremely bullish bets right now. The net commercial longs in the copper market now stand at nearly $22 billion. So everybody's banking on a higher copper price going forward. And that's actually very well reflected by a very strong futures curve going out from 2 to 7 months, with the exception of February. And I want to make this note, because what happens in February? Well, that's the Chinese New Year.
Right.
So the futures curve actually falls off from January to February, but then picks up right back again in March.
Okay. Now, Mickey, they're banking on a higher price and all the money they're putting on the line here, are they basing this on bullish technicals, bullish fundamentals for copper, or do you think it's a combination of both?
All of the above. It's technicals, it's fundamentals, and it's also rife with speculation. But there's rumors out of China that they're going to ban scrap imports very soon. And if you look at where China's been getting its copper this year, it's from two sources. Refined copper imports are down 27% for the year. Copper concentrates are up 3% for the year, 3.5%, but scrap imports have been surging up to 16%. So if they ban scrap, this is going to be a bit of a topsy-turvy copper market. The weaker U.S. dollar, I think, was probably the reason for this 3 cent rise today. Closed at 307, up 3 cents. I got to tell you, once we've hit $3, now it's only been 3 days now, but copper hasn't looked back. We've had 2017 supply disruptions, significant supply disruptions at Grasberg with a long strike, nationalism, resource nationalism by the Indonesian government, complicated by major flooding there a couple of weeks ago, and some violence where they went in and people, presumably strikers or those that supported, went in and destroyed a bunch of equipment. So Escondida had a 47-day strike. It's the world's largest copper mine. Cerro Verde, another large copper mine in southern Peru, had a strike. And driven by very strong Chinese and U.S. demand. Chinese demand up something around 3 to 4% this year, and U.S. demand up 1.5% in the first 6 months of the year.
And I think in this whole story, Mickey, China's really the gorilla in the room, responsible for, I believe, about 46% of global consumption of the metal. But I wanted to go back to the idea that, or the speculation out there, that China may ban imports of scrap copper. Why would they do that?
Not really sure, Rob. The only thing that would come to mind immediately is they're trying to support their own domestic copper industry, perhaps small to medium-sized miners, because the import of scrap is going directly to the refinery, and it's bypassing the smelters. So maybe supporting domestic copper industry in China.
Okay, well, that certainly, the way you lay it out there, Mickey, that would make sense. And, you know, great conversation here, not only because of the price move, but I saw a story earlier today, Mickey, that said last week copper inventories on the London Metal Exchange had their biggest weekly drop in more than a decade. So that's just got to add to this bullish story for copper.
Well, they're at a three-year low right now, down 11% last week. And not only that, but Shanghai inventories were down 8% over the last week. Now, a lot of that is probably traders moving copper out of bonded warehouses in Shanghai and New York and London. Now, bear in mind that the biggest London inventory of copper sits in New Orleans, Louisiana, but that's still under the guise of LME. Traders moving out, waiting for higher prices. So if they get it out and they can store it and not move it out as warrants, which is copper sold, then they don't have to pay storage fees. I'm not really sure, but there's a lot of mixing and matching and convolutions going on always in the inventory market. I mean, right now it's estimated private storage in China is about 500,000 tons, which is very low. Know, we're past the point, which we talked about before, of pig farmers hoarding copper in China, but that may happen again. Because, Rob, here's the bottom line. I'm jumping ahead a bit, and it's probably a question you're going to ask me: is copper going higher? Well, I'll tell you, it's got a lot of room to go higher. It touched $4 in 2006. It touched $4 in 2008. In the summer before the global economic crisis. But get this, Rob, from December of 2010 to early September of 2011, which is what, a 10-month period, copper was greater than $4, and at one point it reached $4.62 a pound. From that point of view, I think we've got a very robust upside to the copper.
Okay, so then if we're going to take your position, getting short on this base metal right now, Mickey, is a very risky position to hold on to, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's probably a risky position to join in with 20 billions of longs, because if something happens to this very speculative market right now, those longs are going to be scrambling. I mean, it's like when everybody gets on the short side, look out for what may come, and everybody's on the long side right now, so look out for what may come.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Market that I've seen once described as being moving in a sawtooth pattern, right? It's up, it's down, it's fairly unpredictable from kind of week to week, but the long-term trend you're saying is certainly in the favor of the bulls.
Well, it is, and since you're talking about a sawtooth pattern, I took a look at the one-year BDI, Baltic Dry Index, and talk about a sawtooth pattern over the last year. It's pretty amazing what's gone on there. But we're at a high right now, and get this, the BDI today closed at 1209. On July 10th, when copper started to move up, it was at 810. So it's had a 50% gain over the last, month and a half?
Yeah. Eye-popping.
7 weeks, something like that. Yeah.
Eye-popping, yeah. Eye-popping stuff. I wanted to wrap it up, Mickey, with a comment. What are we seeing in terms of movement of base metal producers, their stock price in relation to what we're seeing in copper over the past few weeks? Are the share prices moving up in hand-in-hand with the copper price?
Well, now bear in mind, I'm going to talk about a couple of things here. The major miners have made quite a comeback, and that would include BHP and RTZ and Anglo and Glencore. Those stocks are soaring right now. Share prices are up. Profits are back. They are cutting debt. You know, it wasn't that long ago people were speculating that Glencore was going to go under, which would... I mean, it is the world's largest integrated major metal
producer
company, if you will. They've been raising their dividends. So the major miners have reacted quite well. But also a part of that is iron is up to up 50% in the last 2 months, $80 a ton. Coking coal is $195. We talked about those two things in our last show.
That's right.
Zinc is at a two-year high, closed today at 141. That's a high since a decade ago in 2007. Lead is at, as we speak right now, lead's at 106. That's a high since early 2013. So this is a metals-wide thing. What really hasn't moved a whole lot are the copper developers, and that's where I play in this ball game. And although they've moved up, they have not reacted so far to this recent spike above $3, and I expect that to happen soon.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up on that note, and I just wanted to throw in there, Mickey, just about 10 minutes before we started recording this show, I saw a story out there, and I think this was anticipated. BHP Billiton announcing it will sell its nickel division to concentrate solely on the copper business.
Well, it's pretty amazing what BHP has done over the last couple of years, trying to reduce debt and get its balance sheet in order. You know, they spun out South 32, year and a half ago, which is about a half of their total metals production, mainly aluminum and some other commodities. They have now gone, South 32 has now gone into copper developers, both in South America and North America. Mm-hmm. BHP continues to trim its asset base, sell off non-core assets. It sold off or announced intention to sell all of its shale oil plays last week. So, copper's the word right now, so Dr. Copper's back, feeling good.
Okay.
Looking healthy.
Looking good, feeling healthy, just like you, sir.
Well, thanks for a compliment, Rob. Some days when I roll out of bed at my age, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, well, we all have that feeling once in a while. Let's wrap it up there, Mickey. Good stuff. We'll reconnect in a month's time, sir.
All right, look forward to it. Thanks, Rob.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.